philosophies in my experience and my experiment.
I have just been driving and listening to music, and I was listening to Tori Amos, Boys for Pal. I've been like going through this phase where I want to listen to a lot of music that I listened to kind of, you know, 25 years ago. And so I was listening to Boys for Pal on Spotify, and then after that, you know, it just runs into like a playlist kind of inspired by that particular artist. And some of the songs that were coming up were just like songs I haven't heard for 25 years that I'd totally forgotten about. And I was just, you know, like just pleasantly surprised. Oh yeah, remember them? Oh yeah, remember them? Anyway, I was kind of singing along to some of the songs, and I realized something that I wanted to share here, right? Like, I always wanted to be a singer. I love singing. It's one of my favorite things. Music, you know, music is the reason I got into radio, because I really love music. And it's something that I kind of have this push and pull relationship with, like, or I just don't prioritize it, you know? And I've never been particularly musical. Like, I don't play an instrument. I can play like three chords on a ukulele badly, and that's about it. And I can sing. And even then, I kind of wonder if there's actually any talent in my singing, you know. I had one of my best friends when I was in my early 20s was an incredible singer, and I always kind of felt like subpar in comparison. And we would always go to karaoke, you know, and everyone would come up to her and say how incredible she was at singing, and you know, and I never got the same accolades. And so when that kind of shit happens, I tend to be like, oh well, I mustn't be very good at that. And I don't particularly like doing things public that I'm not very good at, even though, like, I don't know, like I don't feel like I'm backwards in coming forwards about my what would you call it, like insecurities, or like, you know, you see the mess in my life. If you follow my Instagram, if you've listened to this podcast for more than 5 minutes, like, I'm a messy human, and I'm not shy on sharing that. But singing has always been one of those areas where I've never felt like I've found my voice in it, you know. And actually, if you remember going back through the archives, back in episode 150, so it must have been about 5 years ago, I was doing singing lessons to try and free up, like to get over this, you know, fear of being rejected when I sing. And I shared, my first singing lesson. And it was a really powerful experience for me. And I continued on with singing for about a year, I guess. And then I just kind of, life. And then actually about 18 months ago, I studied this modality, I guess, or theory called the five element framework. And it was so fun to do. It was such a fun experience. It was all about, again, like liberating your voice, like exploring the different elements at play in your voice. And where can you embrace some of this, you know, parts of you that you have shamed, or, you know, like, there's so much conditioning around women's voices. So much. And I think about my background and, you know, like me as a voiceover artist, there's a reason that I've been quite a successful voiceover artist. And it's because I've got quite a deep voice, which speaks really terribly of, you know, the patriarchal structures and the conditioning that we experience as women, and how women with high voices, you know, like what I learned about myself through going through that full voice five element framework process was really that I had denied certain aspects of my voice because I felt they were like wishy-washy or like a bit pathetic, you know, because we're really, like sold this idea. And if you look at just movies, you know, like it's often the weak character, you know, like the very like feminine characters are portrayed as weak and requiring saving. Like we're talking not necessarily these days, but you know, movies when I was growing up, that was really the storyline. The woman needed saving, and often she would have you know, like a childish kind of voice and baby talk and all that kind of jazz just really irks me, or it did, until I kind of understood that really I've just been conditioned to find a particular sound attractive. And I've just been really thinking about this conditioning of the voice. And even when it comes to singing, there were all of these, like there was this sound that I wanted, and it was a powerful, really, you know, rich fire in terms of the elements, fire kind of sound, you know, like I think, or and also a little bit metal, which is kind of like a twangy, you know, like a nasally kind of sound. I think about like the B-52s, and you know, the singer, the female singer in the B-52s, is there one with the red hair? I can't remember her name, sorry, but you know, that kind of real powerful nasally kind of voice. And that's what I thought a good singer was, and that's what I judged myself. That was like my benchmark, was like, I'm a good singer if I sound like this powerful ballad kind of, you know, like singer. But it's not where I feel most natural. I thought that because I felt fear around singing like that, because it felt like there was more to lose or something, like I wouldn't hit the note, or I'd have to really go all in to embrace that kind of sound. And you know, and I thought maybe I needed to work on that, and so I did. But then during the full voice training, I remember having a session with Barbara, who is the custodian, I guess, of the framework. And she asked me to sing a song, right? And I was thinking of, I can't even remember what I sang for one of the songs. Oh, Candy. You know, Candy, 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 I can't let you go. That song. There's something about that song that I just absolutely love, and that sound, right? But it's not, when I'm power singing, it's not necessarily where I feel the most at home. And it's good to stretch ourselves, but it's also good to like have a think about where we, like I feel like we're constantly having to stretch and grow and evolve, and sometimes there's something in the comfort zone, like what comes naturally to you. Like, why do we have to be constantly expanding and pushing boundaries? Like, why, what is wrong with actually just embracing what comes really naturally to you? Because I think sometimes we're very quick to dismiss those aspects of ourselves, because we're looking for something more complicated, something more difficult, like this gift or something, when maybe we're overlooking the gift, and maybe it's already fully developed and just where you feel comfortable. And I've been playing with this idea in my work too, like where do I feel things come most naturally? And you know, it's really in my guidance work. I feel like I'm most me when I'm working with someone on a really deep level, when I'm having really deep conversations, when I'm guiding. And then I was thinking about where I feel most natural singing. And during that session with Barbara, I sang Candy, and then I also sang, I think I sang Till There Was You by the Beatles. And it's a song, because she had said, okay, that's cool. So, you know, do you sing to your daughter or anything like that? And I was like, yeah, I've always sung her, like I used to sing her to sleep every night. And she said, oh, well, sing me something that, you know, that you're just really comfortable singing. And that, that you know off by heart and you don't have to think about. And so I sang Till There Was You. And it was, like, I felt relaxed. My nervous system wasn't trying to be somewhere else or be something more or, you know, like reach those notes. It just felt comfortable. And I think there's some real magic in that. Because I've been looking my whole life for something out there, you know, like something that was more powerful or something, when actually I've been overlooking, because I've not ever, like, I've always thought it needs to be bigger, it needs to be bolder, it needs to be like more impactful or something. And so no one's ever seen that side of me from a performance perspective, because I'm performing, right? Like, I'm putting on this costume of who I think I need to be in order to impress people. This is all classic undefined hardship when it comes to human design, not knowing my value, not knowing my worth, and as a projector, not being able to see, have a clear, you know, glimpse of myself, because I'm constantly looking outwards. I'm not looking necessarily inwards. I don't have a good vision of myself. I have a good vision of you, and I only really know myself through the reflection of seeing myself in you, right? So no one's ever really seen this, just, I don't know, like me being me and just doing something that's in my comfort zone and comes naturally to me. And that's a lot deeper and richer than what I've been trying to be as a singer, and maybe as a human, I'm not sure, maybe it bleeds over, but it has got me to thinking about all of the conditioning that we experience. Right? Like, yes, there's conditioning around our voices, but there's also wider conditioning. Conditioning on how we think we should be, what we think we should be doing, what success looks like to us, what, you know, there's just so, like, there's so much conditioning. And I think it's really, really, really important to take a moment to come back and really just sit in what feels comfortable to you, what comes naturally, and value that, rather than this constant stretching, constant growth, this constant being something more. Because what you are in your comfort zone is more than enough. All right, well, that's it from me today. Until next time, peace out. Carlos Ortiz, I'm Carly Nimmo.